All right, let's get into the Minnesota goodbye and see what you've come up with today. We're going to do emails to ryanshow@kdwb.com. That is our best source of content for the Minnesota goodbye. Here we go. This is for Jenny, and Jenny's standing right here. So this, she's kind of busy. She's kind of doing things.
I gotcha.
Says, Jenny, I was at the Lumineer show, too. It was so fun. I love their opener, too. They were originally supposed to perform this show March 13th of 2020, but had to cancel it last minute. Carson and I were going to go, and it was canceled like 3 days before. I'd really wanted to go, but didn't get tickets because my C-section was scheduled months out for March 12th, 2020, and I knew it wouldn't be able to make it. So I was pumped to get tickets for the rescheduled show. This is the second band this summer that is kind of a weird full circle vibes for me. I went to the Nathaniel Ratliff.
I think it's... Yeah, that's
okay. Right. Concert March 5th of 2020, when there was some chatter about being a virus in other countries. I remember those days, but no one knew the world would basically shut down the following week. I saw Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats again at the Rock the Garden concert in June. It almost made me a little emotional to think about the world then and now and everything in between.
Yeah, my little sister bought tickets for that concert back in March also of 2020. Well, before that, but she was prepared to come up here for that. And then that was like one of the very first things I remember that was huge that got canceled because of COVID.
She goes on to say, I've never been to a concert. I've never been a concert type person who wants to see the band and feel the music. But I think I have a new appreciation now for the fun escapism and the spectacle of the shows, especially I have a chair. Assigned seat is a must for me, or at least no enough room that nobody is touching me. Thanks for the continued laughs and real talk. Love you guys. I'm just going to go off on a slight tangent. Rochelle, thanks. That's a really great email, and I'm glad you got to go to the show. I think I told you that when I was at the Journey Toto show in Boston last winter with Carson, there was a very, very large person sitting next to me spilling over into my seat. And it was really annoying.
Yeah.
Because... Listen, I'm not judging on larger people. I don't care until it affects me. And this did affect me because I had to lean over and they were wearing, I don't remember, but I could feel their body heat on my shoulder. I could feel their body heat on my leg. We were touching most of the show and it really did bother me. So when you say at least enough room, no one is touching me, I agree. I don't want you to touch me.
I agree. I won't say the venues there in town or whatever, but there's like, for me, there's a superior venue. And then there are others that I rarely go to. And when I do, I feel like the seats are closer. And I hate it. I hate, it doesn't even matter if the person's bigger. I feel like I'm touching them and I effing hate it. I don't want to touch someone. It's one of the reasons, honestly, I've gotten stressed out before. It'll be like an anxiety thing. I went to see a show at the Orpheum once and I was sitting next to a guy who was drinking this like thick IPA beer. And I could just smell it on his breath. I was so, because those seats are very old at the Orpheum. They're still like, you know, I mean, I swear they must be like some original ass seats. And the Orpheum's so beautiful. But I felt like I was sitting on top of this guy and I couldn't think of anything else the whole show. I left at intermission. I was like, I can't do it. I was like getting so uncomfortable. And he wasn't even that big. It's just, honestly, the seats were very
narrow.
I hated it.
We're all, you and I are going to be on an airplane later on today. And I think one of the worst parts of flying on an airplane is when somebody is next to you and they're spilling into your space. And I've sat next to larger people who they really can't help it. And I remember one guy, he was bigger sitting next to somebody else who was bigger. So he asked if he could switch seats with somebody else. And he ended up sitting right next to me, which I wasn't going to say anything, but it was annoying. It was like, why should I have to put up with this? And he was hairy. And he was tickling my leg with his leg hair. And it was like, fuck, it was annoying. And then I started talking to him. He's like, what game are you playing on? What game are you playing? And so we started talking about games and things like that. It turned out he was really nice and friendly. That made it a little bit easier. Okay, next one from Allison. She says, I got a topic been on my mind for a few months. I would love to hear your thoughts. Sidewalk etiquette. Something Minneapolis struggles with. Proper etiquette is that you move to your right when somebody's coming the opposite way and vice versa. Well, apparently I am invisible or something because the number of times I've had to completely step off the sidewalk for people is ridiculous. It's usually groups of girls who are the most guilty, chatting and not paying attention. It also happens with groups of families. Don't get me started on those damn strollers. walking completely in the middle without moving over. This happens to me on city sidewalks, neighborhood sidewalks, even the walkways around Bidet Mikaska. I feel like I have to play chicken and wait last second to see if people will move over. There are times I brush arms because they don't want to move over. I'm in my 20s. I look young for my age. I'm 5 feet tall, so I know I'm small. I truly feel if I was taller, I'd have more of a presence in front of people and they would move the fuck over. Ha ha. But seriously, I know you're all out on walks and runs all the time. Does this happen to you guys? Is it just me? Am I being petty about this and need to I just need to move over and shut up? What do you guys think? Thanks, love you all, from Allison. This very thing happened to me. I was on the Excelsior Trail running on Saturday, and I did 2.5 miles out, 2.5 miles back. And there were tons of bikers, tons of bicyclists on the trail, and they were the worst. And I totally respect bicyclists. Most of them are kind and considerate, and they get single file when they're coming up on somebody. And then I had bikers come up behind me and they'd say, hey, on your left, three more behind me. And I appreciate that because I know there's two more passing. But there were some bikes that they insisted on riding two abreast, and I would have to run partway off the path just to avoid them.
Yeah.
So I think bikers, listen, I respect bikers. Some people are like, bikers, you need to stay on the path and get off the road. It's like, no, I think they're pretty brave to be out there on traffic, and I admire that. So I'm always give a right of way to the bikers. But I think that we used to go to the Chaska Rec Center on the walking track.
Yeah.
And people with strollers and couples were the worst because they wouldn't get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like the chain of lakes, people are so used to walking around them. I don't have that many issues. We had like an issue, Jenny and I walked one time where this guy was creepishly walking way too close behind us the entire time, where it made us really uncomfortable because it went on a little too long.
Like where he could have, if he wanted to go faster, he could have just walked around us. It wasn't like there wasn't enough room for him to get around us.
Yep.
But then usually don't have issues. And I get the stroller thing. If you're in your early 20s, I was the same way. There are so many things that annoyed me about people with kids that I now understand because I have a kid. The stroller thing, I think it's like when you have a baby crying on the airplane. Most, I think, respectful people try to keep their stroller out of people's way because they know it's a big thing. If they don't, then they are just an ass. But like you still want to get out and do something, and you got to bring your kid, and you can't hold your kid for 3 miles.
Yeah.
So it's a interesting thing. But I think most respectful people try to, we do. If we see someone coming, I'll be like, Jake, get behind me, or I'll fall in line behind Jake. But usually we have to do that because it is a two-person deep thing, you know, and they're not moving.
When the pandemic was in full swing and all we did for activity was go for walks, the entire neighborhood was out for walks. And it would really piss us off because, you know, Susan and I are pretty considerate people. So when another family, here comes the freaking Johnsons, and here they come, and they got their four kids, and they're spread out across the path, and you're supposed to, at that time, we were really hardcore, stay 6 feet away.
Yeah. Mm.
And here come the freaking Johnsons, and they're spread out, and we would have to walk on the grass. It's like, do you really not get that you got to share the road? So it is annoying, but it's kind of more of a, it's not a big deal. You know
do
what I mean?
It's really. You experience it, Jenny, a lot? Because she goes more than us.
I bike and run, and I just was running yesterday, and people wouldn't move out of the way. So I see both sides of like bikers and pedestrians. Both are guilty of doing that. Mm-hmm. But I will say to her comment saying if she was a little bit taller and had a bigger presence, I don't think it matters. It's just people's awareness.
Yeah.
Because I would say that like my boyfriend is one of those people who's not very aware of his surroundings all the time. Hence, like he talks really loud in public, and I have to tell him to be a little quiet. And it's like, I think some people just aren't aware of other people around them thinking that they need to move over. So for the most part, I'd say it's innocent. People aren't
totally
trying to be jerks,
you
know, but it's just kind of what you got to deal with if you're walking or biking around a busy pedestrian area.
Next email, subject line, Blumpkin. Dave, I hate to tell you, but we literally call the guy Blumpkin as a nickname because he had received two before his junior year. A Blumpkin is a blowjob on the toilet.
Yeah, when they're pooping.
Like
While they're pooping.
Yeah.
Okay, She goes on to say, I agree, it's disgusting. Maybe if my husband said it was an absolute dream of his, I consider it because hashtag love, but I better get something out of that deal because that's disgusting. Never expected Blumpton to come up again as I approach 31, but I should have known I could count on you. Thanks and have a great day. All right, next one. Summer's coming to an end. And, you know, I'm going to skip that one because it's a request for a song, and I will deal with that in a different way. Okay, this one says, morning show, been meaning to write. I finally had to tonight. Thanks to your show, I learned about the fake violinist scamming people for money.
Yeah.
Well, they made their way down to Rochester.
Oh,
we were going
shout
to Target parking lot, and there they were. Told my husband they're fake. Don't give them money. Fast forward to tonight, and he calls me telling me he thinks he might have gotten taken advantage of. Pulled up to a quick trip pump when another couple approached him saying they left their wallet at home and needed gas. They offered a ring in exchange. I've seen the scam posted online, so I immediately knew he was suckered and could not believe he fell for it. We're in our 20s, and before I thought only elderly people fell for these type of things, it was just $30. But what irks me is these scammers go off feeling like they won, and they continue to take advantage of other people any way they can. So he gave a ring for collateral?
I don't know.
That's strange. It's probably some cheap whatever.
Yeah.
But, man, I am just never going to fall for a scam because I'm so cheap, and I will never give some random person begging me to fill their gas tank up. I will find
never.
It.
No.
I will absolutely find an excuse.
The
to
one
be
never.
Like, no.
Just say no. Absolutely not. Sorry.
The one that I would have fallen for if someone hadn't texted in is a kid saying like they lost their mom or something and asking to use my phone,
mm-hmm.
and then them Venmoing themselves money from my Venmo account.
Yeah.
That is something I would have fallen for before because you feel bad. Like a kid, you want to help
them. But now
them.
You know. You would
but,
be
yeah.
like, what's your mama's number. I'll
call
it right now.
Mom.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, okay, bye.
Yep.
She goes on to say, I remember one of the first times listening to the show, Dave and Fallon were talking about their techniques of putting chips on sandwiches.
What?
I love it when you get a bologna sandwich or a BLT
yeah.
and you crinkle up some chips and you let it, you know, it's like your crunchy part.
That's like
it's so good.
One of his key ingredients.
I've never
sandwich.
Done it.
He needs it. Yeah.
I loved it and I knew you were my kind of people from there. Thanks for all the laughs from Susan. Thank you, Susan. For the email. I appreciate that one. And it looks like we have one more. Dave of the Morning Gang. I want to say I love your show. Enjoy listening every day. Don't mention my name. Okay, so far so good.
Good.
I wanted to chime in about the dieting topic from the other day. I would definitely rather live with someone who supports and encourages me along the way instead of trying to constantly sabotage my diet. My husband is horrible because I said Susan is not the best
mm-hmm.
about being supportive. She'll be like, oh, you can have one. Who cares? It's fine.
Right.
He goes grocery shopping, my husband does, for himself. And when I get home from work, he'll have his cookies and giant candy bars, a big tub of licorice laying out on the kitchen counter instead of putting them away in the pantry on his shelf. I know he's just trying to entice me and cause me to fail. That's kind of bullshit. I've been on a diet now for a while, and I've lost 89 pounds.
Oh, shit. Good for you.
And I think he really has a problem with that. I've worked really hard on this, but having his crap food around in my face isn't helping, especially after having a stressful day. He wants me to cave. What are your thoughts on this and how to handle someone who doesn't care makes me angry. P.S. He needs to lose weight too, but he doesn't want to and he doesn't care. That's what I'm up against. I am sorry you're going through that because that is frustrating and that is his cause. He mm-hmm. doesn't want you to look healthy and better when he does not.
Yeah, that's
and
what it
I,
sounds like.
Kind of honestly, Susan's trying to lose weight too or wants to, but she's not trying that hard.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me because I would like her to lose weight, not for me, but because you live longer and you're healthier if you're older and you're not so big.
It sounds like you've already talked to him about this and your frustration, so I don't really know what other advice to give. I mean, it sounds like
you're doing it. You're doing fine.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think? She's already lost 89 pounds, right?
I don't know how to change the frustration, though. I think you're just going to, like, if that's your partner and who you're staying with, I think that stinks that they wouldn't support you. Because I know that if I was doing it and Jake didn't want to, I do know he would at least support me
mm-hmm.
and like would not try to sabotage me or make me feel bad or make it harder for me. He would probably try to assist me. I don't know.
Maybe you can use your frustration as like a tool against this. It's like, okay, you know what? You go ahead and you eat your freaking candy bars and your licorice and I will absolutely not give in. And I think that has kind of helped me because Jenny brought in snickerdoodles. There was a giant chocolate chip cookie the other day, and you guys were teasing me and going, come on, have some.
I never had any of that cookie either, and I wanted it bad.
And I just used it as like, no, this is like me not giving in to shit like that and proving that I can not give. We have a pizza party. Is it tomorrow night?
Yep.
We have a pizza party in Chicago we've been invited to. And who doesn't love a pizza party with free pizza and all kinds of different pizza?
I will be eating pizza.
I'll probably have one.
I mean pizza.
Yeah. I'm gonna.
Well, one piece of
deep dish
is
enough.
Like five pieces of
if
pizza.
If it's deep dish, yeah, I think one or two pieces is more than enough.
Yeah, I mean.
You gotta have one. And that's not going to hurt you. I think that's something that you have to remember. Yeah. Is like, you're allowed to not always follow everything perfectly. I mean, I shouldn't speak for Olivia, but.
Well, it's true, though. You are allowed. I mean, they don't encourage it. They say, like, you know, even on the holidays, you should stick to the plan. But we don't. We're human. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want to get to the point where I've lost 12 or 15 pounds and go, well, I'm kind of getting there, getting pretty close, going to slack off a little bit. Because yeah. I've done that before, mm-hmm. never reached my goal, 5 pounds away from the goal, and I'm like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And gain it all back. All right. That is it for the Minnesota Goodbye, and we will see you. There won't be any on Thursday and Friday because we're going to be gone, but we'll do one again on Monday. So we'll see you then.